Muchas gracias y felicidades cordiales por su elección. Chair Rapporteur, distinguished members of the working group, distinguished participants, dear colleagues, I would like to start by remembering one of the defining moments for the international business and human rights movement, the killing of Nigerian writer and environmental activist Kenzaro Wiwa, together with other eight activists almost 30 years ago. Their execution, after speaking out forcefully against oil pollution in the Ogoni River Delta, sparked global outrage. Kenzaro Wiwa and his colleagues did not die in vain. We need to remember and channel that outrage as we consider the issues before us today. 13 years ago, the international community adopted the UN Guiding Principles on Business and Human Rights, a milestone in terms of standard setting. And 10 years ago, the Human Rights Council created this intergovernmental working group to establish a legally binding instrument on business and human rights. These are landmarks in the business and human rights journey, moments of real consequence, and I'm delighted to be here at the opening of the 10th session of the Intergovernmental Working Group. This is the next chapter in this crucial history. Today's event is buoyed by a strong sense of renewed hope and commitment. This follows the decision by the Human Rights Council to give enhanced power to the working group, which is a significant step. Let me thank everyone involved, but especially Ecuador, who led this effort with dedication and vision. Now we must redouble our efforts and capitalize on this opportunity. Dear colleagues, the reach and impact of all businesses, but especially transnational corporations, have grown exponentially in recent decades. Today, many of the world's largest economic actors are private companies, touching the daily lives of people everywhere in ways big and small, for better and for worse. More than ever before, business has incredible potential to promote and protect human rights, to advance science and drive human development, to enrich and feed our societies, to connect us, and to lead a just, green, and sustainable transition. It also has the power to do exactly the opposite, to damage human rights, to deepen inequalities, to heighten discrimination, and to wreck our planet and ecosystems. Too many businesses prioritize profit over every other consideration. We see this everywhere, from the destructive and existential consequences of the fossil fuel industry to the perils of AI technology, from the forced displacement of indigenous peoples to exploitative working conditions in industries all over the world. We see it in the arms trade. Weapons are flowing into Haiti, Sudan, Myanmar, across the Middle East and elsewhere, taking an incalculable human and environmental toll while delivering enormous corporate benefits. And we see it in deep connections between violence, conflict, and even consumption patterns. The civil war in the Democratic Republic of the Congo is also fueled by illegal exploitation of and illicit trade in DRC's natural resources. It puts mobile phones in our pockets while people in the eastern DRC don't have a future. And I saw this again myself when I went there earlier this year. In today's interconnected world, complex global value chains mean that goods and services pass through different countries with different legal and regulatory systems. Whether by accident or design, human rights can be lost in this global sprawl. Forced and child labor, environmental devastation, unsafe working conditions or business practices, harassment and attacks against human rights defenders and indigenous people may be hidden and ignored. All of this must change, and we have an opportunity and a responsibility to people today and to future generations to lead that transformation. As humanity's power over our environment and our future expands, so too must our efforts to ensure that power is used sustainably and well. This is the crucial task at the core of the business and human rights movement, to ensure that profits do not come at the expense of people or planet. It is based on the simple but powerful premise that human rights need business and business needs human rights. This is not just about business ethics. It is about our core values, our shared humanity, and legal obligations. It makes sense from a business perspective, an economic perspective, and a long-term perspective. Business, like the rest of society, benefits from peace, from justice, equality, from stability. And human rights must be implemented in every area of our lives, including business, if they are to fulfill the aspirations of people. They can and must support each other. States and businesses have taken important steps in recent years. This year alone, Argentina, Liberia, and Nepal have agreed national action plans on business and human rights. Others, including the United States and Switzerland, have updated their plans. The European Union's adoption of the Corporate Sustainable Due Diligence Directive is another positive example, and more countries are moving towards mandatory human rights due diligence legislation. But voluntary national and regional approaches alone are not enough. To foster business respect for human rights, states need to consider a mix of measures, national and international, mandatory and voluntary. The adoption of a legally binding instrument that establishes a global standard of conduct, the goal of this working group, will create a level playing field worldwide. It will prioritize human rights and make sure that no governments and companies suffer a disadvantage for doing the right thing. It will ensure better access to justice for victims of business-related abuses everywhere and establish clear, enforceable obligations for corporations. Imagine a world where a legally binding instrument existed even 10 years ago, where corporations were legally required to adhere to human rights standards. Stronger regulations could have helped to prevent disasters all over the world, bridge, building, and dam collapses, devastating fires in residential blocks, oil spills, and other environmental catastrophes. More robust legal frameworks would have offered victims a clear pathway to justice. Rare, partial, and hard-fought legal successes, like the Furukawa case on modern slavery in Ecuador or the Rana Plaza garment factory case in Bangladesh, would not be so rare, so partial, or so hard-fought. Distinguished participants, the renewed impetus provided by the Human Rights Council decision, the appointment of legal experts, the significant advances in legislation on business and human rights, the advancements in the draft text, the growing support of UN member states, the dedicated engagement of civil society, all these developments make me hopeful. I urge you to build on this momentum, to strengthen deterrence, to enhance accountability, improve access to justice and support for victims. Concrete progress in this session will help to prevent new human rights abuses, new disasters, new ecological devastation and new victims. It will help to position businesses as genuine leaders who promote and protect human rights and who champion a more just, equal and more sustainable world. You have an opportunity to create your own milestone for business and human rights, and I pledge my full support to this. Thank you very much. Muchas gracias.